Hunter.
DY.
Cheers.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Been waiting a long time.
Honestly. We're here to talk about fitness. I have my list of questions that I got going here, but I want to go deep into what you've done. You just came back from Vegas for a competition. I have tons of questions on that. And then maybe we can dive into the future of fitness as well. Excited. I think that'd be pretty interesting. But you're clearly a ripped man. What first got you into fitness? Like, how did you find out that this is a passion, a driving force into your life?
So I guess there could be some positives and some negatives going into what gets you into something like fitness, especially. But growing up, my father was always into fitness. But he also got to the point of raising 7 kids. So that kind of gets put on the back burner a little bit. We always had a whole squat rack and pull-up machine right in the living room growing up. So
I'd always since you can remember that kind of thing.
Yeah, wow. Pretty much. But so there's that. My older brother got into powerlifting in high school, and we were only 2 years apart, and he was setting records in his weight class and stuff. So he kind of showed me the basic fundamentals. And then after that, I just decided that, you know, coming to this life with one thing, might as well try to optimize or be the best version of that. And I know there are so many aspects other than just physical, but that's one way to start.
I see. Wait, so what age did you like remember? You're like, okay, I'm going to like actually do this every day.
I've always been into sports and athleticism in general, but I would say in high school football, after like hell week was over, you do all the strenuous training and conditioning, you start playing. And I realized I almost liked the pain and torture of the conditioning more than the actual gameplay. I'm competitive, but more so to myself, like in a solo setting.
That makes sense. I mean, that's honestly better, I think. I'd say I'm more competitively teamwork-wise. That's how I like can do it. Like, I love team sports and that kind of thing. Mm. But I think competing with yourself will get you further. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're the only one that's going to be there through all the duration of your life.
Yeah, 100%. So then it wasn't until high school that you got into that?
Yeah, I would say so. Did wrestling in like junior high and stuff. Did tennis and football in high school. But lifting's always been there for me. I've always been a much smaller guy, frame-wise, body weight-wise. When I was really young, I was actually really underweight. And that probably fed into why I got into more so bodybuilding.
I see.
But right after high school was when I started actually stacking on some strength and knowledge and moving forward. What really solidified it real quick was when I was 19, I first moved down here to Mesa. It was actually right up the road. It was on Roosevelt.
Okay.
A couple miles up. I got hit on my motorcycle at the time. And the doctors told me that the fact that I had been lifting for 2 years prior to that, it actually held my back in place and possibly saved my ability to walk.
So it was that bad.
Yeah. So I broke a couple vertebrae, but they said that it held me together very well and that most likely saved my ability to walk. So ever since then, it's just been, I'm never going to stop.
Yeah. No, I can imagine. Wow.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah. Like it basically, I mean, we wouldn't know for sure, but like saved your life in a sense.
Right. You never know for sure, but I think it saved me from a few things in life at this point.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh my God. Yeah, I can't imagine. Of course. Yeah. You have to commit after that. I mean, saw the effect of it. Like that's over there. It's right there, right in front of you.
And honestly, after the injury, I think if I wouldn't have, you know, they did tell me at the same time, never put weight on your shoulders or above your head. Don't put any kind of weight case in your spine. Don't ride motorcycles, four wheelers or anything like that. That's going to cause that stress and pressure. But I think if I would have stopped trying to strengthen and correct and be better than I was even before the injury, I think I would probably be close to using a cane right now.
Wow.
Like I think that the pain would have gotten progressively worse. And
wait, what age was this though? So two years?
I was 19 years
19.
Old.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I had taken lifting pretty seriously when I was a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. But I also started like dating girls and stuff like that. So that interferes a little bit.
Yeah.
But then right after high school, that's when I really started reading into it and trying to find my own path and what was going to work for me.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
And do you remember starting out? Cause like, here's the thing, when I think you and I are the same. And when we get into something, it's like deep and we go like deep into like the knowledge and research of it. Was it like that? Did you treat it like a science experiment in a sense, or was it more guerrilla at first where it's just like, okay, we're just going to lift heavy things and call it good?
So it was actually the opposite for me.
Okay.
Being a very small frame person, initially and naturally. My older brother, when he was doing his powerlifting, he's a mountain man. He's just thick, you know.
I've seen.
Just big.
Yeah.
And so when he was training, I actually started to go to the gym with him, but I think my dad, and I don't know if he was, but my dad was worried about that whole myth of like, you're going to stunt your growth kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I literally just stuck to more explosive cardio, like HIIT training, but also just mainly calisthenics, just mastering your body weight, a lot of static pull-ups, push-ups, handstands, stuff like that, lunges, running, sprints, jumping. And sadly, I think I did that for a couple of years before I even started really trying to strength gain through weight training.
That seems like the best way to go, in my opinion. I mean, I didn't start 100%. That way, and I kind of wish I did because, like, you should. That's just how it should be, and like, you should just start with your body weight. Like, you just have it. Well,
it makes sense if you think about a weight and like weights in the gym, barbells and whatnot. Mm-hmm. All it is almost supplementary.
Oh,
like so, it'll get to the point. Say me being a much lighter person, I'll go and I'm doing push-ups and I'll get to the point 2 years in where I can do push-ups for days and the progressive overload of putting more than just my body weight, it comes to a standstill.
Yeah.
So there comes a point when I need to supplement with weight training to surpass that.
That's very interesting.
So I think that you kind of should master your calisthenics and your body weight before moving to the next point.
I'm sure that helps with form as well, right? 100%. I mean, you're warming up everything with that. I mean, you're not just dealing with one singular muscle group, that kind of thing, right? You have to like use your body as a whole to do this exercise or whatever you're working on.
It helps you further understand like muscle mechanics, the transfer of energy through all of that, and also the mind muscle connection, tempo, like static stuff, and just everything, that balance. There's so much that goes into like mastering calisthenics before going into weight training, and I think it's much more of a reasonable approach.
Understood. Yeah. Interesting. I've never thought of weights as just basically a substitution or more of an addition to your body weight. I've never actually thought of that. Cause you're right. Like I can do push-ups all day, but like at some time that's not going to work anymore. And you got to like have more weight to strengthen.
So it does also go the other way. So say you are one that is very, very overweight. Mm-hmm. Say you can't hold push-up position for 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. That's okay. And where are you supposed to start if you can't do that, if that's where you're supposed to start?
Right.
So that's when you can get a barbell that's 45 pounds rather than your body weight of 250, whatever,
right.
You know, it goes up. So you could start at a smaller weight so that you can progress to your body weight and then master your calisthenics and then go back into the supplementary of progressive overload over that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that makes so much sense now that you're saying that.
Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah. It's not just subtractive. It's also, yeah, I get that. So in addition to that, like when I see, like when I go to the gym, I like go to the sauna and there's a pool right outside the sauna and there's always like, I don't know, a swim workout in a sense. Like it's definitely geared towards elderly people of just doing like kind of basic motions in a pool.
Right.
Is that like the ultimate kind of subtractive weight in a sense? Cause the water like takes gravity off of you or not so much?
So I'm pretty sure the reason it's geared more toward the elderly is because, usually to get the most effective workout in any way, it comes down to resistance. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about swimming, it is constant push pull with every muscle group, but it's also constant resistance. Mm-hmm. It never lets go of that tension, but also the reason it's geared toward the elderly is there's no impact. There's no shock to your knees from running. There's no shock to anything. There's no case in your spine.
Yeah.
There's none of that. So it's basically gravityless on your joints and everything like that, but it's constant, even tension throughout the rep. And it only gets harder the faster you try to propel.
Right.
So
that does make sense.
It's just a safer.
Yeah. Safer. It does definitely seem safer. I mean, definitely towards like, you know, other people that are doing like deadlifting or something, that seems far safer and way less resistance on your joints, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Cause I guess you're right. Like here's like, if I were to do that pool workout, I mean, if I put into it 100%, like I think I would equally get tired. Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it's not easier. It's just better for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, okay.
Yeah. The better you get, the harder it gets. Same goes with weight training and stuff like that. You know, it doesn't just get easier.
Yeah.
I'd say it gets harder, the better, but
yeah,
the pool is very, it's very natural in its progression. So like straight up, the harder you go, the harder it gets.
Yeah. Like, interesting.
There's no shortcut.
Wow.
I guess you get better with your form and that's a shorter cut, but no shortcut, you know?
I see. I got into swim workouts very briefly for like maybe a month, like wasn't big, but it kicked my ass. I mean, it was hard.
Yeah,
it was very difficult. I mean, I wasn't doing what they were doing in the pool. I was doing like, I don't know, quote unquote, harder stuff. But still, I mean, like after 20 minutes, I was like, I don't even know if I can continue. Like my heart might explode. Like it's crazy cardio. It's crazy. Yeah, it feels like so much weight is on you. Like if you're just swimming laps alone, just that, like on the fourth lap, I'm like, oh my God, like why is this so difficult when 3 laps ago, this was easy? Like, very quickly it can go that way.
Pretty much waterboarding yourself. Like, you're a better man than I am for even getting into the pool.
Maybe it is that. Maybe I'm just a little bit sadistic in nature to myself. Who knows?
I still want to think that I'm something of worth, so I stay away.
fair enough. Yeah, I think that's why it was so brief. I was like, you know what? Maybe I don't need to do this and nearly drown every time I work out. That's probably not for the best.
It's definitely good, and I would recommend it to anyone, like especially starting out, if they're trying to get their blood pressure regulated and everything like that, just to start out, get that mind muscle connection, blood flowing.
Honestly, that does seem like a good way. Like calisthenics and like swimming, that alone, I mean, you can be a super fit person just doing that. I mean, that's that's like triathlons at that point. You know what I mean? Like you're just doing natural stuff.
But
we made the jump because I'm with you. I'm like going straight into weightlifting, and that's all I'm doing now. And I haven't been going to the gym that long in my life. I think maybe in total 4 years. Like I started in college, didn't do anything in high school, but I was always not a built person. Definitely not. I was definitely overweight in high school, but like, you know, husky, like muscular, just by nature, that just kind of thing. Just thicker. So I never not felt the need, but I just didn't, simply enough. And I didn't really play sports either, which was terrible. But in college, I was like, okay, I'm going to get it together. We're going to do it. And it's been on and off over the years, but I've only been doing it for 4 years. But again, I've only done, except for that 1 month, weightlifting and that kind of thing.
Yeah. You get to the point when you kind of find your angle with weightlifting. And then if you want to branch out to do other things, you know, MMA or swimming or whatever, you kind of figure out. But the first 4 years, pretty strenuous, but that's where the magic happens too.
Yeah, I agree.
That's where you kind of find your route.
Yeah, that's true.
What you love.
And I think like you progress a lot quicker when you start out. Like I remember it was night and day difference, 2 days of working out. And I was like, oh my God, not just feeling, but like appearance. I was like, that's incredible. Maybe it's not even real. Maybe it's just like body dysmorphia in my mind, but you definitely feel a lot better. You feel like Superman after that. It's crazy.
I think that there's a few different learning curves, but as far as like, say, starting with calisthenics, you start, and then once you get good at those, you've gained more of like a mindfulness of your intention, why you're doing what you're doing, what movement, the speed and everything. And once you gain that, just that fundamental knowledge of what works for you, that's when it's the magic happens. That's when it starts taking off. Usually I say like at least 3, but usually about 6 weeks. If you're starting fresh, 6 weeks in, you're just, you're pretty well set on, you're ready to get better.
I agree.
6 weeks later than that are insane.
But yeah, starting out. So here's the thing. Like we talked about this last night, actually, a little bit of just like going to the gym and making it not about motivation or more like inspiration, if that makes sense.
Right.
And doing this more kind of directed energy towards it. And the best way I can do it is that like the best way I can say it is like going to the gym every time I go, I'm not excited for it. I'm not like, ooh, can't wait for the gym. Like this is going to be a great time. Like, and I'm just like giddy over it. It's nothing like that. It's more just like an energy towards like taking a shower almost. It's just something you do. It's almost hygienic. Like, and I think that is like how I'm sticking it to myself of just like, this is the next thing I'm going to do. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be bad. Like, that's just what I'm going to do now. And I feel like a lot of people, when they go to the gym, they're like, they dread it almost. Like, oh, I can't, like, oh, I have to go to the gym today. Like, I've heard many, many friends that, you know, they like thought about going to the gym for 30 minutes. Their mind got the best of them. They didn't go. That happens all the time. And they're like waiting for some motivation to strike them or something. But I think my way of just going and forgetting the whole good or bad connotation to it and just like, I'm just going to go to the gym. That's it. That's just what's happening next. That was worked for me. But I'm trying to think like why just fundamentally, like why is it so difficult to go to the gym? Like just why is it hard?
I think that if So I think that more than physical, it's emotional is the hard part. I've gone through phases where I physically worked out and there were good workouts, but they weren't getting me any better because my mind wasn't in the right spot. So your question was, say one more time.
So like, why is it so difficult for people? Like, why can't they get there? I understand it's hard. I get that. It's a very difficult 30 minutes to an hour of your life. I understand that.
Like, so that mindset, just the simple shift, it's the idea of you're going to do something every day, knowing that if you're in the right mindset, you will get to the point in your workout where it's uncomfortable and maybe you have not been there before. So doing something like that every day, most people don't find an uncomfortable spot in everyday life where they're pushing themselves and actually getting better, even if it's a tiny bit in anything, not even just weightlifting. But if you're in the right mindset and effectively training, I feel like that's something every day. And that's why you're basically expecting to get to a point in your workout where it's uncomfortable and you've never stepped there before. And basically you're facing possible failure. And if you don't fail, you overcame and you got better. So I think it's just that simple fact of, I don't know if it's a fear of failure or if it's like expecting to be uncomfortable enough to change.
That's honestly, I think you hit it right on the nail there. I think that's what it is. It's uncomfortable. Like that's what it is. That going to the gym is uncomfortable at the end of the day. I mean, you're pushing yourself to hopefully new bounds, right? You're like doing more strength, whatever it takes. And you're doing something that at the end of the day is pretty uncomfortable to do. Like no one, I tried to make like in my mind, I try to compare it to like going to work. But it's like, you don't, I mean, you just go to work. You know what I mean? Like, you don't really like, you don't have a choice of like, oh, should I go to work? No, like, it's not like that. And yeah, you get paid and you have to go. And I understand that. But for the gym, it's, you're 100% correct. It's uncomfortable and you don't have to do it.
Right.
No one's forcing you to go to the gym. Right. Like, that's not ever the case. And so it's so easy for your mind to be like, should we feel uncomfortable today? I don't really want to. And that will be the default setting for that mind. That'd be absolutely default. I don't think anyone is just being like, you know what? I want to be uncomfortable right now. That's all I want to do. Like it's probably pretty rare to do that. So I think that kind of the way to do it is just bypass that completely. Bypass that first question completely. Like, do you want to be uncomfortable? Just forget that.
Take the emotional out of it. So you compared it to a shower. Like, why do we take a shower every day? It's you've done it and you've realized, oh, people like me more when I don't smell like I haven't showered, you know? I'm more comfortable. Basically there are patterns that you notice that are undeniable that enrich your life and the quality of it. And so same with like fitness and stuff, you'll get to the point if you take that emotional out of it, because you're not always going to have the good days and not always going to have the bad days. You notice basically there, the pros far outweigh the cons. And so logically you just do it. Just get to the point where you do it.
It's true. And I think I'm finally at a point now where it's like, I feel bad if I don't go to the gym. Like I feel terrible about it. Yesterday was supposed to be a rest day. And it actually was a forced rest day because of work. But the day before that, rather, it was supposed to be a rest day. And I didn't do it. I went to the gym. I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. So I just did like active rest, kind of just did like cardio and basic things and like abs, that kind of stuff. But yeah, there's like the days I like have to basically force myself not to go. Those are terrible because it's like now I feel bad. Like I'm not like pushing myself that day.
You know, it's a tricky one because that could be looked at as negative too. Cause I have those days too, where I feel almost guilty for not going. But what I've noticed also is, I don't necessarily plan for days off, but if I feel that it's respecting my progress, you know, if you're too hungry for your progress and not respecting the idea of like rest and recovery and stuff like that, it's, you know, you're taking off too big of a bite. You're going to digress. And so,
Agreed.
I kind of forgot what I was talking about.
That's perfectly fine. We are allegedly high. That's the rule in the podcast, by the way. Allegedly.
One point or another in my life.
We can't say we are or not. Allegedly, we smoked and allegedly we're high. So that should be said. But let's go into, so you just got back from Vegas. And I want to go into this because I'm very curious. Because you and I have talked about you competing in like competitions. I have no idea what that even means. Like, I don't understand how you compete. I've seen like Mr. Universe or something. Like, have you like, you know, whatever.
There's so many, there's so many different fitness competitions within the spectrum. They're pretty much endless. And I keep finding out about more and more. If you go to like Mr. Olympia Expo every September in Vegas, it's the biggest bodybuilding expo in the world. And it's not just bodybuilding. They have the top world class, like bodybuilders compete there. That's what brings it all together. But there's military stands, there's different supplements you can try. There's MMA stuff, like different kinds of boxing. There's basically everything in the fitness realm is at this expo. And it's pretty mind blowing to see all these different things that people, that's their life.
Yeah.
Same thing with bodybuilding. So your question was about these competitions.
Yeah. So like you just went to Vegas, right? And it should be said you weren't competing.
Right.
You were coaching.
Yes.
Your brother.
Yes. My little brother.
Okay. So your little brother and you guys went to Vegas. Okay. So, and you said it went all day. So like you go into this competition. Mm. What's happening? Like what's going on when you enter this building?
From a coach's standpoint or from a competitor? Or
a spectator. Like, let's say I'm going to this competition just to see what's up. Like, just what am I going to, what do I expect? What's happening?
Okay. So what it is, it's almost kind of a weird concept. People view it as like, you know, just a bunch of almost naked bodies up there trying to compete against one another. Okay. When really I view it as much more of a solo sport. So it's kind of like you're working day in and day out, bad days, good days, and everything like that. And practicing certain levels of discipline so that you can hit this goal that you set on this day. And usually when I competed, I would set this day of competition as a deadline to hit certain goals. Okay. And that day I'm going to be hopefully the best and most polished product that I've yet to come up with. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people view it as competing against other guys, which ultimately I guess you are, but to me, it's being the best version of you because every body is physically different. There is no way to say who's more blessed or whatever. Mm-hmm. So with this, as a spectator, I guess you would walk in and you can have a seat. And it's usually in like a theater setting.
Okay. So it's like a stage.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's a stage. And as a spectator, there's either, you know, just a normal like theater room or chair set up or whatever. Mm-hmm. But on the stage, it's you just got the curtains, got the bright lights and everything like that. And that's the thing with bodybuilding is it comes down to lighting. Mm-hmm. These guys, they get a really dark spray tan, looks kind of ridiculous in normal lighting. But when it's up there under the proper lighting, it shows every level of dedication, conditioning, shape, just any kind of development that you've had. It is right there.
Yeah.
So as a spectator, you go in, sit down. Show usually starts at about 10 a.m. and that's pre-judging. Pre-judging is where the judges typically make 90 or more percent of their decisions on who is placing the highest and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And they trickle it down from there. So pre-judging usually goes from about 10 a.m. to about 1 p.m. And it goes through all the different classes of bikini competitors, fitness competitors, wellness, men and women, and whoever. And goes through all the classes, height, category, ages, and all of that. And then there's an intermission. And at the end or later in the day, 4 p.m. is when the finals start. That's usually more for the spectators, more for the crowd and supporters. They come and they watch almost the same thing you watched this morning if you were there this morning. Mm-hmm. But now these people that have grinded day in and day out for years, a lot of them just shutting off parts of their life, you know, making a huge sacrifice for dedication. A lot of categories, they get to pick a song of their, you know, choosing, and they get to make a minute long routine to that. Showing not just going up there and flexing, you know, double bicep or anything like that. It, you know, people can see it as ridiculous. That's okay. But going up there, there's a certain aesthetic to, you kind of see it in Arnold videos. You know, he would take ballet classes to try to get a certain, it's almost like Fibonacci, like a certain curvature with how his muscle development goes into his stance and everything like that. There's more of a beauty to it rather than just going up there and flexing. And that's what most people that aren't really in the industry kind of see it as, which is fine. But the guys that you can tell, like the people that are kind of just going up there to flex, and then the people that are like, this is a masterpiece. Like this has taken this person 20 years of 5 days a week plus, and all of this, and now They've got their fluid motions down. They've got their angles down. Basically what is pleasing to the eye as a piece of art. It's a physical, biological piece of art. And so basically you're seeing these routines, the minute long song they picked, and it's sometimes it's amazing. And then by the end of it, they'll say for men's physique, that's what my brother competed in, he wears board shorts. And by the end of it, there are different height classes. He ended up winning his height class. And so winners of all these height classes of men's physique open, they go against each other. So say six, seven dudes, and then they find the overall winner. So every category has that.
Interesting.
And so in a nutshell, that's what you're looking at. It's a very long day. Rain goes from about 9 to 10 a.m. to about 9 p.m.
Wow.
You stay for the whole show. And then usually afterward, whether you win or lose, I don't know how you look at that personally. Doesn't matter, man. Like you went through the week, sometimes months of prep and strict dieting and everything like that, down to a 2-hour window of everything. And then even the last week down to the water and the salts and everything. And so usually right after you kind of go celebrate. Doesn't have to be anything stupid, but for me, it was pizza and ice cream in the hotel room. Just let it all out.
Yeah. You did it.
Yeah.
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 100%. Oh, it's so funny. Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. It's for me, it's mostly a deadline. You pick it, and the only person you're going to let down if you fall short any on those bad days, or if you eat a cookie when you shouldn't, all these things, you're only letting yourself down. Mm. So set that deadline. You hit it. You do your best. Doesn't matter where you place. Did you beat you last time?
Mm-hmm. Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, that seems like something. I mean, you're making it sound like actual art. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't, because I'm, you know, as a layman, like I see these things. I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess whoever trained the hardest, you know, got the biggest,
right,
will win. But you're not saying that at all. Like right. It's really not about that.
So oftentimes you'll see someone that's big, dude. They're big, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's impressive. But the guy next to him will have been smaller, but I would say a lot of the time in bodybuilding as an artistic sport, they'll be more evenly developed and proportional to basically optimize their frame. It's not like they were just training for size. They would get some size and then sharpen that axe, get some size and then sharpen it. And you can tell. And a lot of the times those guys that are much smaller, but just everything in the curvature of everything that ties in their body as a unique being.
Yeah.
Those guys will win a lot of the times. It's not even just the size. In the, I would say, late 80s and 90s in bodybuilding, after Arnold, they started blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so bodybuilding has been viewed more like those huge guys. Ronnie Coleman, still very impressive, untouchable.
Yeah.
But it changed the game. And that's actually why they brought back physique class, and then now classic physique, to try to separate. There's that huge look, and then physique is more like swimsuit,
I see,
muscular, and then classic physique is trying to bring back the Arnold, the golden era.
Yeah.
So they're basically they're all those categories now. You don't have to try to just be huge. You can be basically, it comes down to artwork, biological art.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I like it.
Where's
so in a nutshell, as a spectator, you're going in, you're watching the pre-judging. That's where most of the decisions are made. And then the finals are more for the crowd. It's more of a show, more of a performance, more artistic. And that's where they reveal. They don't reveal, even though they've made their decision in pre-judging, they don't reveal the winners until the finals.
I see.
So,
man, that must be a hard thing. I'm thinking it from like the judge's perspective. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that. It does seem like a very subjective thing, like judging singing or any art, really. It's like, how do you say that this body is better than this body?
Right. There's no finish line.
There's no finish line. Yeah. There's no like number metric, I don't think, in these competitions. Mm-hmm. So you're really just appealing to judges. But like, how does that work? I can imagine a lot of people might have disagreements with the judges.
Yeah. Like I said, it comes down to obvious goals hit and conditioning and discipline over the years. It comes down to that and crowd like presence and aesthetics, the curvature, like the ballet posing and stuff like that, to create more of a smooth, comfortable, confident, proud product.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, it does. Well, like, I want to go back more into like the beginning. So I'm entering this. I'm a spectator. Is there like music all the time? Like, is it that kind of vibe? Is it like fun? Like, how does this prejudgment start?
So the prejudging, they'll just have just like a playlist playing, and it's not very loud. You can, there will be a table right in front of the stage with all the judges. And I'm not sure how many, maybe 8 judges.
Okay.
And so it is a very, it could come down to the judges and what they prefer. Hopefully they're most unbiased, but there is music playing, but prejudging is more for the judges to be okay. Quarter turn to the right and they'll do their, and then face the back, do that pose. And then basically very directional and, just black and white. And then, yeah, the finals is more for like the show and like the product. So there will be music, but they're kind of telling you what to do as like you're lined up, say 5 of you, what to all do and compare and contrast. Okay. But also they will, there's different levels of lighting depending on where you're standing. So if you need to be seen better or if you look better than say the guy that's in the middle, they will ask you guys to switch spots.
Interesting.
And then so your goal is to get to be the middle spot. That's where first is, right next to him, second, third, fourth, and it just keeps going out from there.
Wow.
So usually in prejudging, if you get to experience that, that's usually a, but don't celebrate because the finals, it's not over till it's over. So
just starting at that point.
You still have to manipulate your carbs, water, salts, and all of that potassium during the intermission so that you can still have that same, if not better, stage presence and performance and outcome product in the finals. So don't early celebrate, but
that's build wild. Yeah, you still are prepping, training during the competition.
It's a stressful day for sure.
I can't imagine.
I was stressed as like a coach, but you know, I can only imagine how he was feeling.
Right. So you were coaching. Yeah. How do you coach someone through this? Are you there in the prep process as well? And like when he's like preparing a routine, are you there as well to see what it looks like? Or are you more just like words of encouragement?
So as far as routine goes, I'm probably not the best guy to go about that. I'm not usually the most showboaty guy in the world. But I think that there's a certain level of like reserved confidence that I could maybe hopefully teach and put onto him. But as far as coaching him, to go back, I started coaching him about 4 years ago, back in my hometown. I took him up. He was still, I think, about 15 years old. And so I started him with basically calisthenics and just very slowly started training him and about, you know, just the whys, the ins, the outs. I wanted him to respect the game and start that way. So started that way. And then he started getting it. And then basically I put him to the back burner, let him train himself for about a year and a half. Then he moved here, started training a little bit more, trains mostly by himself. But then when it came time to set a date for the competition, I just kind of stepped in and helped him with his dieting, basically adjusting all of his macros, carb cycling and stuff, starting because he's a pretty lean guy. We started about 6 weeks out from the date, actually doing the carb cycling and the cutting. Because you usually in the sport as a natural athlete, it's either way, if you're natural or not, it's a very tricky several weeks leading up to the competition as far as dieting. You can easily overkill. You can easily you lose fat due to the macro manipulation, but also especially if you're natural, you have potential to lose a lot of muscle mass too. Cause usually as you lose fat, there's a proportion of muscle that you lose as well.
Wow.
So the goal is to maintain the muscle that you've built as much as possible. You will lose some, but as much as possible while you are safely, cutting the fat pinch on the skin. Until the day of the last week of it gets really, really like basically down to the 2 hour window of what you're eating, when you're eating it, why, what hormone is this going to be manipulating or, and then the last few days, it comes down to mostly depleting muscle glycogen storage, shedding a little bit of water retention, cutting back on salts and then like potassium, basically electrolytes. So that the day of you can fully optimize through water manipulation mostly, because the muscle, you're not going to lose a bunch of muscle in one day.
Yeah.
You're just not. Mm-hmm. So that last day comes down to mostly water manipulation. Hopefully the goal is to get it to be more inside your muscle cells, less outside, so that your skin has a tighter and muscles have a fuller look to the lighting.
Oh my God.
That makes sense. So it's a pretty stressful time, yeah, especially for the competitor. I was stressed because it's my first time coaching someone through a competition other than myself. So yeah, great turnout though. It was very exciting.
That's crazy though. It sounds like so much preparation, like so much training, as in something else artistic, let's say, I don't know, like dance or something. Like if you had to put together a routine, like choreography, you're just kind of doing that over and over.
Right.
This seems so much more in depth, like the dieting, the training, like the sculpting of the muscles. This seems so much more in depth than anything that I've heard, to be completely honest.
Right. It's kind of like if you were to compare it to, say, dancing, I cannot dance. Let's just get that on the table real quick. But as far as dancing, every time you have a new dance, you're doing a new dance, and it's a new product.
Yeah.
With this, it's kind of the same product, just further evolved. It's like if you were to do the same dance every year, but you just got better at it.
I see.
So
it
just gets sharper to the point where if you're, you know, Mr. Olympia status, you're pretty much flawless. Like no one could do that dance better than you.
Right? Yeah.
And so I don't know if that answers the question.
Yeah, no, it's very true. And I'm with you. So I was going to ask, like, when it comes to it sounds so difficult. That's what I'm getting at. Like the mental game of this sounds very hard to keep up with that. Keep the diet like very strict, you know, keep up the workout routine, very strict, that kind of thing. But when you're done with the competition, it's like, okay, he won, right? Like, great. He wins. Can you just compete next week?
So that's actually the best way to do it. So if you're not on a pro level yet, if you don't have your pro card to qualify for that, I'm pretty sure you have to place first or second in a national qualifier, which is what this was. Okay. And then you can compete in a national. And if you basically get a first or second overall, I think it's two consecutive times, if not three, you qualify for your pro card at that point.
Wow.
And so, what was your question?
No, that's it. Yeah. Like, can you compete directly after? Like, why just start another week after?
Basically, you compete, and especially if it's your first one, your performance, where you stand, and basically your future goals, for the most part, become very clear, especially right after the competition's over. Wherever you placed, whatever, you redefine your goals, where you need to head, what you need to fix, what you did good at, everything like that is pretty clear to you. You just saw your polished product in them and had judges judge it.
Right.
And you can even ask the judges to critique you personally.
Yeah. Does he have any plans to do it like directly in the next months or so?
As a first time competitor, I would say, get there, but I wouldn't say try to make it too consecutive.
Okay.
I would say get there, find out exactly from the judges what you need to work on, what was good, what was, you know, needs help and stuff like that. Then set another date. I would say maybe earliest 4 months from that.
Oh, really?
Because the cutting phase, especially if you're natural, you'll lose size. You'll lose some of your momentum that you gain in the gym. So you kind of need to get
back up,
which will come pretty quick. But then you need to surpass that.
Yeah.
Because now you know where you sat and you need to be better than where you, why would you compete again? If you just if it's you versus you, why would you compete again right now? If you know you need to be better.
Right.
So first time I would say compete, find a clear, direction, hit that direction. And then next time you compete, if you're feeling really good, if you're feeling like this, I've done everything in my discipline and everything in favor of this, there's no way that I could have been at a better point right now. Mm-hmm. And so if you're at that point, pick another date, compete. And if you're at that point, try to line them up to where you're doing three competitions in the span of 4 weeks.
Wow.
And they're always on a weekend. So basically so that you don't have to cut separate times. You cut, and then the first one, you know, you place. So like you're headed for your pro card kind of thing. And then you can kind of safely through your carb cycling, you know, reload on the carbs and then cut even harder for the next week's competition. So yeah, I would say once you are to that confident point, then consecutive competitions are the way to go.
Yeah. Understood. Yeah. That's crazy. It's insane to me that like, yeah, starting out and like just getting better, that kind of thing. Cause I guess where I'm thinking of coming from or where I'm coming from this is that once you compete, I'm thinking it almost like a live show you put together and you like just take it on tour, just do it again next week, that kind of thing. But that's not it at all.
Right.
It's really like you're doing this art. You got critiqued, like you get all this feedback and what to do better. And then you got to train and get back up and then do it again. Like, yeah, 4 months later or something like that. And you're really only doing this, I mean, rarely, right? Like 3 to 4 times a year at first until you get that momentum going. And then it's a lot more common.
It's not like you can just get to that product that you've created and just freeze it.
Yeah.
You can't just freeze it.
Yeah.
Your body is either growing or it's digressing. You know, it's either getting better or it's getting worse. There's no sitting on the wall with that.
Man.
And so at that level anyway, once you're down to, you know, 5% or sub 5% body fat, there's no sitting there unless you're constantly in protein synthesis due to some help. But
yeah, that's crazy to me. Cause like, yeah, like going back to the, you know, analogy of like a dance, you're just doing that dance, right? It's like, you, even if you, let's say you like perfect it, it's like, that's the dance, or like a live show, like that's the show. But this isn't that, because like, you can't just like do it again. And it's the same exact performance. It's like, this thing is a living and dying thing. Like your body's always changing. You have to fix everything all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like there's no break here unless you just don't compete, but like that nothing, like you have to keep going, keep striving and keep getting better. Mm-hmm. I really like that mentality when it comes to something like this, because again, like going to the gym is hard enough alone.
Right.
Competing is just a like whole new level of going off of this kind of bodybuilding world. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, competitions in any realm, really. Like you host chess competitions, basically anywhere where you're challenging yourself. It's just that's when you're usually fully immersed into that culture.
Yeah.
And that's when it gets pretty real.
Yeah, very real. Yeah. I was also going to make that kind of analogy of like, yeah, I do chess tournaments every single month. Like I go there. But again, it's not like there's still a prep process, training, that kind of thing, learning a lot of research, that kind of deal. But it's like, I can just go again next month. And it's like, you know, there's no real like, oh yeah, I can do it next week. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. It's like, I'll just keep playing. Cause then I have this number, this ELO, like this rating that hopefully keeps going up.
Right.
There's no rating, right? And I mean, there's placing.
Right.
And so there's that, but it's like, I guess where I'm coming from with the, like, why not just do it next week is like, if you do and not the same people show up, you might win even if you didn't get better. Mm-hmm. Like, is that also kind of in mind? Like maybe it's not up to me, it's up to my competitors.
So that is in mind, but I would say, like I said, with the first competition, find a clear direction, assess where you're at, redefine your goals and everything. Hit those goals. And when you hit them, that's when you should compete, and then compete consecutively, because there will be a different crowd. There will be different competitors, but you know, for a fact, you have optimized your position.
Yeah.
So see that through. Go through all the different variables of different competitors with that product that you are set on.
True.
If that kind of.
Yeah. And it seems more honorable as well. You know what I mean? It's like you have a goal and you hit it. So it's not like I just want to win.
Right.
So I'm just going to keep trying until they are worse than me.
Again,
it's like, that's just a terrible way to go.
Again, it's a you versus you thing.
Yeah.
Now, if you view it as you versus them, that would be, that's how I would see it. Like if you were just competing consecutively, trying to just win, hoping that next week's competition wasn't as extreme as this week's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's no longer a you versus you kind of thing. And maybe you're not so confident in the package that you've created kind of thing.
Nor will it help you, I feel like, too. Like, let's say even if you did do that and compete until you got this pro card or whatever, and then you did that, it's like, are you even ready for that at that point? Like, just because you escaped with a win, like, and didn't really like strive to get there and then get there.
And so, and that can be detrimental to like your, you know, your confidence level and stuff. Cause it will be a reality check. If you go from, you know, these national qualifiers and stuff to, okay, now I'm going for my pro card or I have my pro card.
Yeah.
You're in the big leagues now.
Yeah. Like, you can't fake it at that point. You can't wait for competitors.
You got lucky on your third consecutive one that the you only went against maybe two guys and like, you placed very, not lucky, I don't want to say that, but like, say hypothetically you placed well. If you knew that you didn't bring your best package, it's going to bite you in the ass when you go to the big leagues.
Exactly.
Because, you know, you probably weren't ready.
Yeah. And you're probably going to lose. I mean, for a fact, you will. Like, it's just, you know what I mean?
There
like,
are those gyms throughout history that just.
It's like a bodybuilding prodigy or something like that.
Arnold
kind of thing.
Comes here from, I think it was,
I forget what country.
Man, anyway. Yeah. He just comes here and just blasts right through to the top, becomes an icon immediately.
Yeah.
And there are some people that did that.
Yeah. But it's really not about. What I like about what you're saying is that like it's not about competition. When I think of the word competition, it's like, okay, it's me. I have to be the best thing here, which that's what it is.
Right.
But it's more of like you hitting a personal goal and then showing that to a crowd and judges. Right. I love that versus, again, like I just have to beat them. Like, and your focus is on them the entire time because that's how it is like in chess, right? I have to be the best one here.
Right.
I don't literally have to beat myself. Right. I have to beat this person in front of me. Mm. It's the only way I'm going to win.
Right.
And so your mentality shifts completely. You're just like, I just be a little bit better than them. That's it.
Right.
That's really not what it is here. It's like, you just have to be the best version of yourself
right.
and hopefully it'll translate to the crowd.
Not just faster than the guy next to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
yeah, pretty much. Otherwise, it's kind of looked at both ways, but there's always a bigger fish.
True.
So if you're just trying to beat the guy next to you, you're fooling yourself because there's always a bigger fish. There's always someone better. So not even better, but you know, someone with less is doing more.
Yeah, 100%.
So
100%. Yeah, I'm with you. And then you were coaching. Now I want to go into that just a little bit because I'm still a little fuzzy on what that actually means. Okay. Like you're coaching. Day of the event happens, like give me like concretely, like what are you doing?
It really gets really strict like 2 days out. And so, like I said, it comes to a timing of not only are you sustaining the muscle mass and everything like that, but the last few days are mainly water manipulation, hormone response due to like insulin spikes and stuff like that. So you've been keeping, say, your insulin very sensitive due to carb cycling, and you've kept it at an all-time low for at least the last week kind of thing, to where you're now, say, like depleting water. There's a level of water in and outside of your muscle cells, and it's usually pretty even all the time, right? Naturally. But with this, if you kind of get rid of that water, and then you re-up on the salts, the potassium, the carbohydrates and stuff, it shoves it. It's almost like a shock. It shoves it into your muscle cells. So that's the biggest part of the coaching, I would say, helping with the posing, but also the water manipulation and everything like that, and the confidence in the stage presence. So with that, it came down to timing of when he would start to reintroduce these carbs into restoring his muscle glycogen for the best performance. So hour by hour, the last 2 days, it came down to what to eat, when to eat it, constantly telling him how much water to drink, when to hit this. Cause if you say re-up on the carbs, or if you even get your pump too early, those hormones will regulate again. Your cortisol will spike, your stress and all this stuff. And maybe you looked optimal 45 minutes ago when you were backstage, but now you're on stage and you missed your window of performance due to just the water manipulation and the timing. So from coaching, it was mainly what to eat, when to eat it. And it had to be carbohydrates that your body's kind of used to. You know how you're going to react, not just, oh, go get a cheeseburger from somewhere. You don't know what's in that.
Right.
You don't know all of the stuff that's in that. So literally just white rice. And then that morning, right before he went on stage, something like a Snickers bar and like a biscuit, something with the salts and like the simple carbs, the fast ones that are going to rush that pump, get you more vascular for a small window.
Yeah.
And so these guys that look freakish, you know, a lot of girls see women bodybuilders or women that are into fitness, and they're kind of like standoffish. Like, I would never want to look like that.
And
I try to explain to them, there's probably like a 5-hour window in which they look like that.
Interesting.
And then they drastically flatten out.
Like drastically different.
Like within hours. Wow. And then within days of not carb cycling for that photo shoot, they look like a normal, fit, muscular, optimal body.
Yeah.
And so a lot of women are scared by that. But it comes down to the carb cycling, the strict hold back there, and then the reintroduction of the carbs, the salts, the water for that manipulation, for that small window of performance, for the polished product.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just goes away. So the coaching comes down to the timing of all the nutrients. When he's up there flexing, I'll just kind of yell out or whatever, like open up this way or, you know, turn this way.
Oh, you can do that. That's
yeah,
okay.
Like,
okay.
Yeah. Like, and you can cheer them on and stuff like that nice. Too. But, you know, open up, like you've got the pose down, but just get that chest up, you know, get more proud on this elbow.
Yeah. Stop,
little things like that. Just kind of tweak it and just coach it the whole time.
Yeah.
And, so like I said, it was a first time coaching experience for me at a competition. And I was very well pleased. He
yeah.
killed it. He went in as a teen competitor and did both teen and men's open and just did very well. And so yeah. I can't wait to see what's next. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Now I want to talk about like nerves with it too, because I'm sure that plays a role. When I'm going to bring up like chess tournaments, I play chess tournament, very relaxing activity to do. I love playing chess. I'm like, I'm very relaxed, very calm and centered. Mm. When I go to a tournament, I like, there's like a histograph of my heart rate due to my watch.
Yeah.
It's average heart rate 120.
It's just like,
and I'm sitting in a chair. Like, I'm doing nothing. No movements. Like I'm literally stationary and my heart is racing for some reason.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine the difference when it comes to like the like bodybuilding competitions. Mm-hmm. Cause I can imagine nerves play a huge role. Cause maybe he's perfected it. Maybe like backstage, even 5 minutes before, he's like, wow, that's literally perfect. What you're doing right there, just translate that to stage. You're good.
Right.
But I can imagine that's not how it goes. Is that fair?
So there's the mental stress and there's the physical stress, which is like the cortisol spike as well. So the mental stress is pretty unreal. Especially when you're backstage, you're around a bunch of elite bodies yeah. and stuff. And you're just a drop in the bucket, you know. They're impressive. You're impressive. It's a very nerve wracking, especially if you haven't stood in front of a crowd, let alone without clothes on.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're almost naked.
Yeah,
I mean, almost. It could not be a worse yeah, situation.
Just picture everyone out there naked. And so
it's the exact opposite here. Yeah, like this yeah, could not nope, be a worse.
You
thing.
Can't use that one, man. You're yeah. naked too. Yeah. So the nerves, huge role. And the judges can tell, the people in the crowd can tell with how comfortable you are with there's, you know, there's false confidence and there's obvious that is a confident being right there.
Yeah.
You know, they're proud of what they're presenting and there's not anything you can tell them to make them feel different. So it plays a huge role, especially in your stage presence, fluidity of your movements, like, just basically how smooth and appealing it is. But there's also the cortisol of like, that window we talked about. So when you kind of want to get your pump in a timely manner before you go on the stage right. for that optimal result. And there's that window and you can miss it. And basically with your hormones that you've been restricting all your carbs for your insulin response and everything like that. You start to get your pump, your growth hormones start raging. You start feeding everything. You start getting vascular, feeling good and everything like that. And you're getting these sugars as well. So that's boosting your serotonin as well at the same time. So all of this is climbing for the best possible product. But if you miss the window, that insulin spike now crashes due yeah. to the simple sugars that you've been restricting. And that's usually when your cortisol, your stress hormone right. starts to spike. And that will go against you physically. So not even your stage presence and your performance, but how you look.
My God.
So there's a lot of stress in it, but if you can harness that and use it as a good stress, mm-hmm. then, you know, that's sometimes how the best performances are made.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so much going into it. It's crazy.
I couldn't imagine doing chess.
Yeah.
Like, no way.
I don't even understand it. I shouldn't be nervous. That's yeah. the thing. But I yeah. know that everyone else is. Yeah. And I want to say, like, does that play a role on stage as well? Like, my heart rate's 120. I mean, that is, like, almost noticeable. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's not just, like, 120 and that's the end of it. It's, like, blood pumping 120. You know right. what I mean? Like, a hard 120. Like, right. it, like, you can feel your heart. Mm-hmm. That has to translate on stage, I'm guessing.
100%. So again, being up there, you are there to please the crowd as well and perform and be aesthetic and all these things. So smiling comes into it.
Oh, interesting.
So you have to sell them on a real smile.
Yeah.
So you can be stressed, but are you actually more proud or are you more afraid to be up
right.
there? So there's a big part. The other thing is holding poses and keeping your core tight and
yeah.
on all these angles and curvatures, you're flexing a lot of the time. That's hard for minutes on end. So you're flexing and you're sweating and then you can get to the point because of if you didn't re-up on your water and your carbohydrates properly, you could start cramping up as well.
Oh my God.
And then at the same time, you're trying to breathe, but also keep everything nice and tight without letting loose for even more than a few seconds. So yeah.
When it comes to like there. Because you're saying like there's these like windows of time that's optimal, and I'm sure the judges know that as well. Like everyone's in on that, right? So how's like the schedule of the time? Is it blocked out like minute by minute? Like, okay, like 9:05, you're on. No. Is it like that?
No. Oh, that is the most terrifying, most stressful part ever.
Yeah.
I did a competition years ago with my brother. And so we're waiting to eat our Snickers bar, man, and stuff like that to just get that optimal pump for just that small window. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, men's physique, you guys are up next, line up. Great. So we line up. And at this competition, this was in like 2014, I think, there was a lot of competitors. I think that's 2013, I think, is when fitness, especially bodybuilding, really took off again. Someone popularized it more so to the mass of the public, and it blew up. Anyway, a lot of competitors. So right before the men's physique, we were lining up to go on stage. There was already people performing, which were like, say, bikini competitors.
Sure.
And there were 140 bikini competitors.
140?
So
that's got to take some time, right?
That took some time. So we started eating our stuff, getting pumped up. And we had lost our pump and had it lost for about 40 minutes before we even got on stage because we jumped the gun that time. And you know, you can still look pretty good, but you don't look like you did 40 minutes ago, like straight up.
I'm sure that plays a role in your mental too.
Your body temperature has regulated at this point. Mm-hmm. The water levels have kind of regulated in and outside of your muscle cells and your muscle wall. So it's a very stressful thing. And that's, I would say, is the worst part. So with the coaching, my little brother this time around, we had a sheet that said which categories were going in which order.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the prejudging is hard because you don't know exactly how long it's going to take. Finals, you already went through the prejudging. So you have like a whereabout. And so I would text him or just be like, okay, like eat this now, like eat this and then start warming up. And then, okay, now it's time to actually get the pump. You can miss a window of a pump as well due to a certain stimulation, but that's probably the most stressful part. I
can't imagine that. Yeah. That sounds hectic.
That can vary about like by an hour. You were expecting to go on at 11:40 and it's 12:30.
Yeah. And you missed. Yeah. Did anything go wrong for this competition or you guys hit everything pretty perfectly?
Let's see. For this one, it was kind of hard. So I trained him for a while and then I stopped training him for a while. And so he started getting big, you know, strong, got to the best he's been. But then when it came to starting to cut for the competition, I was like, okay, where you have been building or at least maintaining your size and stuff, what's your calorie count daily? Oh, you don't know.
Yeah.
So how am I supposed to know where to go to start tweaking your macros? And how am I supposed to know, okay, for all I know, you could be eating anywhere from 3,000 calories to 8,000 calories a day right now. So I'm just going to start shot in the dark. We're going to start you at, say, 2,800 calories, hitting your macros right. We're going to start this cut. And if you start losing too much, we're going to readjust. But I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, it did. I want to go into prep in just a second, but let's take a small break.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's how it is. I mean, even with this stuff, right? This is like what I want to do, like this podcast stuff, this YouTube channel, everything, right? But I'm still having very much distance away from it. Like I'm not tied to anything I'm doing. Like you'll see my channel has a bunch of random stuff. It's just whatever I'm feeling in the moment. And I just want to keep that going because that's ideally what my channel would be anyway. Right. It's just stuff I'm passionate about and I'm just going to make a video on it.
And that's what I was going to say. So it's almost like an autobiography in a sense.
Yeah.
Because what I've noticed about all your multimedia endeavors is they are all you.
Yeah.
Like none of them are like, oh, well, this could do well. This could be something that people like, dude, screw them.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I like.
Yeah.
And this is creating an entire web of, you're like creating your own AI right now. Your own algorithm, algorithmic AI.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. And I agree. I mean, because that's just how it is. I watched a video about creativity and they said like, it doesn't make sense to do that kind of cash grabby audience filter creativity, because ideally that's not you anyway. So right. Why are you committing so much time and effort towards that? You're going to make this, and it doesn't matter for those people that weren't going to watch anyway, because that's not your demographic. Right. You're not making it for them. Right. You're making it for you and the people that would like it anyway. That's what you're making it for. And so I'm kind of doing that now. And since I've heard that advice, I got it from some video, but from that advice, I was like, yeah, why am I, you just do it. It doesn't matter. I have such a low subscriber count anyway, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Real recognize is real. People, especially nowadays, people are leaning more toward they want raw. They want not unfiltered, cause cut the fat, but just be real. Mm-hmm. And that alone, if it takes off, is because of that richness. Yeah. Now, other than that, if you're not independent, someone could make you, Britney Spears.
Yeah.
That's not who she was, right. Sadly. But they could make you that and make an icon or whatever. But
100% true. That's how it feels too. It's what do you want to be recognized for? What you want to do and what you truly feel? Or what's the alternative, right? What you're I don't even know, a CNN host, you know what I mean? You're filtered and washed and what are you doing?
Next up.
Yeah. That's not you. What is this music? What are we doing here? That's not what you should be known for, right? Yeah. You want to be you, and that's right. How that should.
Yeah. That's if you're taking the independent approach.
Yeah.
Now, if you work for someone else, you're them.
Yeah.
But if you're doing something independently, I feel the only way it's going to work is if you're you.
Yeah. And I agree.
Without a care of anything external.
Yeah. And when you're doing something with someone, it should be, collaboration, you and them, right? It should be that as well.
Don't
and
let go of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems so obvious now, but definitely when I was starting out, you can see from my first videos, there's for sure a audience filter. And that's what I'll call it from now, an audience filter. Literally, you're doing this for someone or something, not because you want to make it specifically. Right. Maybe you do want to make it and that's fine, but for sure you're filtering info or how you're saying things or whatever it is. Mm. Something's being filtered and that is just, I hate it. I just hated it. Mm. But now that I'm here, and again, I'm not great at this video stuff or video making or this or whatever it is, but that's okay. Cause I just want to be me. I just want
to
do that.
To me, that's so impressive because with say your podcast being your latest direction, you released your number zero, and I watched it and watched it the whole time effortlessly. It didn't take me. I didn't look at the clock, but I'm saying you just put it out.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That says something.
I think so.
Every time I think you'll figure out something that you want to do better or something like that.
Yeah. I'm with you. And that's kind of the motion where I'm going with it. I love it that you're my episode number one too. Cause I think you and I think we're mentally very the same. I feel where it's that was episode zero. I put it out. Doesn't really I'm just going to get better over time. It's not it doesn't have to be perfect cause it's not going to be. Ever,
zero is a good intro to
what this circus show is going to be. it's gonna be ridiculous. Yep.
If you can watch this, you'll probably like the rest of them.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. All right, perfect. All right, well, let's get back into it because I don't want this about me.
Sorry,
but we don't have much to go over yet. So the competition thing, that is massive to me. I really wanted to know everything about it, and I think you displayed it perfectly for anyone listening or watching on what that is. Because again, you've been saying competition and competing, and I had no idea what that actually meant, but this makes a lot more sense. Right. Truly, I thought of weights. I thought they were lifting weights on stage. That's what I thought competition was.
Right.
But that's not it.
So that's a hold up for me as well. That's something I fight myself with. Cause I consider myself a power builder. Mm-hmm. I want to be optimal. No, I could be more flexible and balanced and stuff like that, but if I look good and look strong and stuff like that, I want to be strong and be good.
Yeah.
I want that to match what's inside the box. You know what I mean? And so I struggle with that one, but man, I've looked at where I rank as far as strength goes and powerlifting competitions and stuff. And for my weight, I think all of my lifts were at master level, but there's a level over master.
Okay.
And those are freaks. I could never, not saying I could ever make it super far in bodybuilding, to that 0.5% or 1% or whatever it is. But, the thing with like powerlifting is, say I'm 175 and I'm 5'11". Mm-hmm. Someone could be 5'4 and 175.
Yeah.
Doing a deadlift, and I could never compete with that.
Yeah.
Straight up. So it is kind of weird to me, the concept of like showing off your body. Mm. It's kind of a weird, seemingly egotistical, narcissistic outlook or,
sure,
or direction. Mm. But it's all in how you view it.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Well, I mean,
I
now,
don't for 1 second think that I'm better than anyone. I don't think that my brother for winning is better than anyone. He's just better than how he used to be.
Yeah. And so again, that is the best part, because what is on the outside looking in, if you knew nothing about it, egotistical, like, hey, look how good my body is.
Right.
Right. Like that's how they would think of it, but that's okay. Not at all. Like they had to strive to just be better than they were yesterday. Right. And they did that over years and years and years. Right. And now they're here competing for it. Like that just makes sense to me now. Right. But again, I'm with you. Like, I think like you have a good grasp on like what the, you know, mass population thinks about it. Cause that is like what I thought of. That was my connotation going in. Yeah. That's, I mean, you've opened up my world though. That's clearly not what's happening here. Mm. It's almost like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of some other, not mundane task, but something like archery maybe is a good example, where it's like you're perfecting this one thing you're doing over and over and over and over again. Mm. Right. And then you're just showing it off in a competition. Like, look how good I perfected this precise details of a skill. Right. And I love that. Like, that's how it should be.
Right.
It's so great.
So it should be. But, you know, there are bad apples, bad perspectives that spoil the bunch, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Not everyone needs to be pleased by everything.
That's true. So. Again, they're not going for that crowd, just how we were just talking about with this podcast. Like, those people that are doing it aren't doing it for the crowd that don't care.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter to them.
It does not matter.
Yeah. Now, so, you said a couple times in this podcast so far that you said, like, natural versus unnatural, in a sense, you're implying.
Okay. So yeah, I have no bias or real firm opinions on that. If you are, if you're not, it doesn't matter. It's actually probably the foundation of the sport in general is to use, you know, performance enhancing drugs. Is that
part of the rules though? Like, do they say like during the competition rules, hey, don't do this, or this is okay? Do they even specify?
Doesn't even specify. Okay. So that's the thing is, I've always had this goal that me personally, biggest goal would be to get my pro card in a, you know, in like NPC or IFBB while still being a natural competitor.
Yeah.
That's been my goal, you know, basically reach for the stars kind of thing.
Sure.
There are natural committees though. I've only done one natural competition, but I think I will in the future. But as far as whether natural or not, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Just understand that's a huge part of the sport, and to each their own.
Sure.
Different goals, different perspectives.
But the people that are using performance enhancing drugs, would you say there is an advantage to that inherently?
100%.
Okay. Gotcha.
Let the record show.
Yeah. Cause that's what makes sense to me. Like, I saw have you seen the documentary Icarus?
I have not.
Okay. I recommend that fully, but they were talking about like Lance Armstrong with biking and it was like
blood doping.
And right. And they were like, okay, so like if, and then one of the experts, like, it's ridiculous if you think about it. Cause if like you were to pick a winner that wasn't doping, you'd have to go to like 18th, 19th place. Everyone's doing it.
Right.
So it's like, it's a dirty sport in general.
Right.
This one is a little bit specific because biking, they say, don't do that. They say, hey, you, that's not allowed. And you have to like cheat the system. Mm. Here in competing for bodybuilding, that's not even in the rules. You can do that.
They don't say that they endorse it or anything like that, but they're like, hey man, like whatever floats your boat. Like, and I'm pretty sure calf implants are a huge thing with bodybuilders.
Calf implants?
Yeah. I actually found out recently and go ahead and fact check me on this, but amongst most plastic surgeries, one that's, I think the most popular is calf implants. And because calves are such a genetically stubborn and strong genetic, basically you can work with it. I'm not ever going to tell you, you can't, and you can get much better, but those are one of very few muscle groups that are very stubborn to change. So if you were to get on some performance enhancing substances, those would generally, with most people, if say some of their body is developing insanely, those sometimes would still fall behind. There's just no way with the rate and anyway,
yeah,
you can get better, but that wouldn't keep up. So calf implants are actually a big thing in that. So stuff like that. I just say that because I have small calves.
But yeah, I see. Yeah, understood. That makes a lot of sense, though. That
answers your question.
It does, because I mean, well, when it comes to calf implants specifically, it's like, yeah, I can imagine if that is like the most stubborn part, and it's such a massive thing that people look at. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're looking at the whole package, but like calves specifically, it's such a contrastly different thing than like arms, for, you know what I mean?
Right.
So when you have someone that has like more like chicken legs, like it's so obvious. Mm. So I'm imagining if I'm a competitor and like I'm working with the calves and they just won't do it, it's right. Like at some point it's like, okay, what do you do? It's like you got to either kind of go back to a more framework that works with your calves, mm, or plastic surgery is always an option.
Right.
I mean, that's crazy to me.
But you were saying, like, is there an ultimate advantage?
Yeah. Right. So like when that happens, like, here's the thing, because it's more about aesthetics. So I'm trying to think, like, performance enhancing drugs for like biking makes obvious sense. Like you can bike longer.
Right.
But this one is like, how does the aesthetics play a role?
Yes. So that's been basically my big fingers crossed since I've like decided to compete, mm-hmm, is that hopefully and ultimately it won't be, like I said earlier, just judge on size and, mm-hmm, stuff like that. You can reach a pretty impressive development naturally, but there is a huge cap. So it depends on what you're going for. It's, yeah, each their own. So it would warm my heart to see someone that's much smaller than the guy next to him, and they both look phenomenal, but there's something about how his development is so naturally optimized.
Yeah.
And
that it beats out the bigger guy,
basically, you know, that it's more of like we said earlier, like a work of art.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying one's better than the other,
right,
but ultimately I want the sport. I hope that the sport remains artistic.
Yeah.
So may the best man win there, mm-hmm, rather than anything else.
Yeah.
So you could be 200 pounds lighter than the guy next to you, but something about your aesthetic,
yeah,
and your physical build outweighed it.
Yeah.
So that's my hope for the industry in a whole.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I'm with you there. That makes sense.
There are definitely benefits to either or, but it's to each their own.
Yeah.
And so you can complain and blame things on whatever, but yeah, ultimately,
let's see
if it remains a game of art.
Yeah. As it should be. Right. It shouldn't just be the biggest guy wins. I don't think that's how it should be. If it's something numerical, like again, like lifting weight competitions, that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? You lifted more weight than that guy, you win.
Right.
That's a number, right, empirical.
It's a finish line. There's, yeah, like a definitive thing, yeah, there.
You can't do it. But this is all, again, it's like judging a dance. It's judging art. So right, it's like, should it just the biggest guy win? It's like, mm-hmm, well, no, because, you know, mm-hmm, the brightest painting doesn't always win or whatever it is. Like, it's not about that. There's something like an X factor to it. I don't know what, right, that is, but something about this is better than that.
Yeah. I've been tempted to like dabble many times in my life. You know, I've been going for 12 years strong now, mm-hmm, and you hit some lows to where you're, yeah, just like, you start to doubt yourself and stuff like that, because you weigh within 10 pounds of what you weighed 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
But physically you're stronger, you're
bigger, more developed, I'm
more
sure.
More developed.
Yeah.
And so that's been a big thing for me too, is I don't feel that my hormones have dipped low enough to actually justify,
yeah,
supplementing there, mm-hmm, but also if I were to look at my physique, I understand that there are some areas that are still not caught up to what I would say my most prominent groups are, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even want to move forward from where I'm at until the rest caught up to where I am.
I get you.
So yeah, that's just me personally.
And that makes sense. I mean, it's a crazy goal for me to think about, that you want to win all naturally in a competition when everyone else is clearly making a definitive choice not to do that. They're like, we're going to take anything we can get, basically. Why deny myself an advantage when it's right there and no one's telling me I can't? I mean, that sounds really difficult, but it's like super good. Like I think you're going to do it for sure. It's for sure possible, and you're going to do it. Definitely. That's what's going to happen next.
You know, I stopped competing years back. I didn't stop. I took a break. After my last competition that I thought I did pretty decent at, I decided, man, I am 23 years old. I think with the rate of my progress, the past X amount of years, 5-6 years, basically with the rate of progress I've seen, I'm going to need to take at least 4 years off of competing right now to develop, to get to the level that I need to be to actually compete. Like, if I actually want to win a competition, like first place, not a natural show, I need this much time to develop.
Right.
And so,
man, that's crazy. Now you're 30 now. You just turned 30.
Yeah. I watched a whole room of naked bodies on my 30th birthday all day. My girlfriend's like, so is it all day? I was like, yeah, I get to spend my 30th birthday in a room with a bunch of oiled, tanned dudes and thongs.
That you're at it's home. Great. You're at home.
I'm
it's,
at
it's
home.
Bliss. It's just paradise.
Music's playing. Judge is going. Judges.
Yeah. That's so funny. Oh my God. But yeah, so you're 30. Mm. Is this a young man's game or no?
Man, my goal was to, like I said, I took time off when I was 24. I felt like that's when I found my dieting plan. That's how I felt. I found what works for my natural hormonal manipulation through diet and workouts and stuff. I had a direction. So took time off, but I told myself that, okay, I think it's going to take 4 years of 6 days a week, you know, roughly. And that led me to 28 years old. Mm-hmm. So when I came here, I would say the heaviest I've been, not quite the strongest I've been, whatever. And I was planning to compete. I think it was April of 2020. Mm-hmm. And I think I was ready, man. I was proud. I was the best I've ever been by far. And then COVID hit the month prior. So I'm not going to blame it on COVID. But what I will say is at that time, 28 years old, I would say I was the biggest, probably the best I've been physically, like in a mirror and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And now hitting 30. I've picked up other hobbies as well, and my life's been busy, but I've still held on to fitness like it's, you know,
of course,
the fountain of youth. Mm-hmm. And so there have been lows, but what I've recently realized, probably within the last month, was even the smallest inconsistency, now that I'm 30, takes a serious dip and dive in your endurance, your strength, your energy levels in and outside of your workout and everything like that. Like, this is the first time in my life I've actually started to feel that. And so it didn't make me want to like supplement anywhere. It made me want to be smarter and everything, more respectful about my eating and about my workouts and about, most importantly, my mindset going into my workouts. Cause for a while it got to, oh, okay, I've been doing this a decade, like pretty much just coasting, good days, bad days, I'm here. Right. Mm-hmm. But about a month ago, it shifted. I think training my brother for this competition really lit a fire under my own ass.
Yeah.
So now I have excitement and I have a logical, clear direction and what needs to be done. I need to shower every day.
Yeah.
This is going to happen. Not that I'm excited, but I'm energized for it. I'm here and it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so this being the first time turning 30 that I've really felt the hormonal change or sensitivity, I guess, its ability to change, makes me want to take a more mature approach and not shut out my life, but know what I'm capable of and knowing how to give it my best, basically. And I need to take it seriously if I want to maintain a certain level of, you know, testosterone in my blood and whatnot.
So of course.
I've definitely seen the effects, but I don't think I don't think I need anything.
Yeah.
If I'm not eating and timing and everything and manipulating my hormones as much as I can naturally to optimize how far I could get, why would I try to bite something else when I'm not even doing what I should be doing right here?
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Okay. This actually is a perfect segue though, because we're talking about the future, right?
Right.
Like, you're 30 now, it's time to look forward. You're feeling the changes and now it's time to like make shifts. Mm. And now you're talking about competing again, right? And so do we have a date as well on that?
You know, one of the biggest parts of competing, I think, is setting that definite date.
Yeah. Like, how much time do you need?
It's a deadline. So from where I was when I was ready to compete, I say, can't just blame, oh man, I should have done this. Can't say that. But like where I felt like I was comfortable and ready. I'm past that with my strength. I'm stronger now.
Okay.
My body weight is probably a little bit less, but I think I'm also healthier now. So with that comes a further development, but I do think that if I worked out really hard right now for at least 2.5-3 months for getting better, like with the right mindset every time, mm-hmm. I think that I would be ready to cut just hopefully just a small cut window, because I try to stay fairly lean. Find a small cut window. And I think that this year, I was looking at August at the earliest, but that seems pretty early. And I have a lot of fun stuff coming up this year. So if I, you know, if I do that within 6 weeks out, I don't have to cut very long, but 6 weeks out, I can't, you know, I can't party for 4th of July.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, I can't do this kind of stuff.
Everything has to pause for a second.
It is a priority in my life, especially now. It's definitely lit a fire under my ass, and it makes me want to set a date so bad. But I've already made commitments elsewhere, so I have to kind of fit that piece in like a piece of Tetris, you know. It's got to fit, and it's got to fit to where I've taken this much time off of competing. Am I just going to throw it away because I was irresponsible in this way? Or, you know, no. That's not why I took the years off. That's not why I kept training. So even if it turns out to be next year, which hopefully not, I think it's worth the wait, or not worth the wait. It's worth the work.
Okay.
Yeah,
I agree.
So,
I mean, I don't want to keep lighting a fire under your ass, but like, again, like it seems like there is a limited time to do this.
Yeah.
Is there 40-year-olds at these competitions?
Yeah. When I was, I think I was 26 or 27. My dad was like, when are you going to compete again, man? Like, you know, you've been saying that you were. And I was like, hey man, I told myself 28. I told myself that's the guys that I was going up against when I was like 23 or 24, they were all like 28 to 33.
Okay.
And they were fully developed and they were filled out and they were impressive. And I was not that.
Yeah.
Whether I placed or not, I knew that me personally, I wasn't in the right competition yet.
Yeah.
I wasn't of the right level.
Understood.
For myself to even enter the competition.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, even the fact that you have a 4-year plan at 23 or 24, I mean, that is amazing to me. I couldn't make a 4-year plan right now. I mean, I just couldn't do it.
So
there's just no way.
That was with, you know, my biggest, I would say my biggest passion at the time, that and music were my biggest passions at the time, and actually always have been my entire life, and nature, of course, but, it was kind of easier to do that. Now, if I were to find an occupation and just make a 4-year plan or like stuff like that, I felt like for me to make that 4-year plan, yeah, I applaud it, but I feel like it was much easier because it lied in my passion zone.
Yeah.
Rather than more responsibility. Well,
right.
Well, I can't say it lacks responsibility. I think that health is wealth.
Yeah.
So
I agree with that.
I just need some wealth to go with the health.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just waiting for the wealth part. Agreed. Well, so again, I'm talking about the future here. So we're moving forward. Do you know of any like innovations in the kind of fitness world? Is there anything, I don't know if you like been to like fitness expos recently or anything. Is it like, what's the next level? Like, where are we going? Cause I feel like we've been here for a while of just like, I don't know, since maybe even like, I don't know, 70s, 80s, 90s, even just like, I'm just like, wait, just go to the gym. Like, then that's it. And we're just going to do this. Right. And there's always been different like exercise machines or whatever it is, or different exercises, you know, certain things like CrossFit has like blown up in past decades, that kind of thing. But like, what's the next thing? If you know of anything like that, is there any other, like the next CrossFit? Yeah, yeah. What's the next thing?
I think it will be like a triathlon. I think it will be a CrossFit. It will be a bodybuilding, say, and it will be maybe like a, either like the Ninja Warrior thing or like MMA.
Interesting.
What if you had a triathlon that was those three sports? It was the showy. Uh-huh. It was the performance under the time. Mm-hmm. And then it was the opponents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What if you had all three aspects in one triathlon sport of fitness or strength or whatever, rather than like
specialized
steady state cardio,
triathlon
kind of thing.
Exactly.
Swimming, running.
Now that is, I would love to see that. Like, that would buy a ticket to that. That'd be amazing. I would
train for that.
Yeah.
If they opened that, I would stand nowhere close to even ready. Not even, no, Give me 10 years and I'll enter a competition.
Yeah, doesn't even matter. I mean, just you know like the spectacle of that perspective sports, it would be amazing. But I mean, that sounds insane.
I feel like that's the only direction it can go. You know, we are, I believe, in the age of information due to the internet. You know, you can get ideas and perspectives from anyone, anywhere in the world at any time. And it's the first time in human history that we've had this. So now it's gotten to the point where all these sports popped up, like on top of the Olympics, like CrossFit and stuff like that, all the later stuff. So it's gotten to the point where it almost seems like it's pretty saturated. Like it's pretty, pretty filled in.
It is.
But the only way to do that, there's always the argument of who's better. Mm-hmm. You always see it. Who's better? Is it the triathlon competitor? Is it the fighter? Is it the bodybuilder?
Yeah. Or marathon runner. Yeah. Who is it?
World's strongest man. Who is it? You just put one of each in this ring and say, okay, do something. Like, you know what I mean? So I feel like it would have to be like a triathlon. Like let's pick three things and you have to do all, and maybe they have something like that. Maybe I've just been out of the game of like researching, but maybe they already have something like that.
Maybe, but I've never heard anything near that. But I do love the prospect of combining three, hopefully very different things into one like performance. Like this person has to do all these different three different things rather than just specializing in like the aesthetic features and like the art, or just can you lift the heaviest thing possible. Like it we should have a little bit of everything and just see what that human looks like. Like what is that person?
So we are in the age of information, so now for the first time ever anyone can access any interest they have. So now you can figure out how to diet down like a bodybuilder. You can figure out how to throw 450 pounds over your head 20 times in a minute. And you can figure out how to do these things because you have access to that information for the first time ever. So I think, feel like that's why it's filled in. So, so exponentially since probably 2013, just filled in. And I think that once it's completely filled in, it's gotta come to like a T. It's gotta come to like a, you know,
yeah,
this,
like
this
a,
is it,
a yeah,
precious, like
a little like out of the box thinking at this point. Cause I agree. We've just been doing like different things. I think now it's time to like start combining back almost into a brand new sport. Yeah. That'd be incredible. Yeah. If that is a possible or already has been done, I would absolutely buy a ticket to that. I mean, that sounds amazing to watch. Like what that spectacle of a human will be, unreal.
Cause you can be, you know, and then again, these sports are usually you versus you, but you can be, say, top 1% or even top 0.5% in your sport. You can have the most aesthetic body in the world.
Yeah.
But that's just like you just look the best.
Yeah.
You know,
look at all these people
and I'm not
doing
that. That is incredible.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. There's all of these other things that
that's
could
just
be done
one thing.
Well.
You're not the best body on this planet.
Yeah.
Now how are you going to prove that you're the best body on this planet? Functionality wise, you know, looks wise, everything.
You gotta do
muscle triathlon, dude.
Yeah, that is something that someone gotta make that. Okay. If not already.
Right.
That's amazing. Yeah. So yeah, I think there is yet to be, I think there's gonna be game changing innovations going forward. And I think that is a great idea kind of starting out, at least conceptually, even if that doesn't exist, conceptually speaking, combining different things, I think that's where we should go as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, this has been a wonderful conversation, but I do want to end on one last question for you, Hunter. And this one is just for anyone out there that like, I feel like the biggest excuse I hear when people don't work out or that kind of thing is that like, they don't have time. They don't have time to work out. And there's all these excuses people do, right? And I really just want to hear from you, someone that is very passionate about working out their entire life. Like, can you just give me a quick pitch? I haven't worked out ever. Why should I? Like, I feel good about myself, right? Like I'm, you know, lean. No, I'm not the most muscular person there. I can run a mile. That's fine. You know, that person that just like doesn't feel like they need to. Can you pitch me on like, why should I work out at all? What's the point?
So I don't know. Just turning 30. I feel like I wrestled with the idea a lot in my 20s, like what mattered to me and stuff. And ultimately in this life, I think I'm here for experience and in every direction. I want experience and I want memory and I want all of this stuff. Why not try to be at the healthiest state to where you can have the best possible experience, every experience you have, whether it's good or bad? Why not? And it goes beyond physical, but that's one huge side of it. Why not be able to experience things without any limitations or, you know, experience it to the fullest.
Yeah.
You come into this life with one thing, and that's a body. Drive a Ferrari, dude. Like, why not? Yeah, yeah. Don't lease something out. Don't give up your car. You know, I don't know. Just, yeah. Just be the best you can. It goes beyond physical, but physical to me, like I said, it's just something that, you know, I shower every day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree. It does feel like almost like a daily supplement. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I mean, do you take vitamins every day? It's right. Like, yeah, I just go to the gym. It makes me feel good. That's just what I do. Well, and then
And it stops your body from disintegrating. You know, if you have a job, whatever you're doing, even if it's strenuous, you're usually doing the same three motions all day. Nothing gets full range of motion. Nothing gets the mind to connect to the muscle moving the body. And that leads to imbalances and injuries and all kinds of things. So experience life to the fullest.
Yeah. I love that. I think I love that a lot.
It's cheesy, but
hey, I think that's the way to end it.
Yeah.
There we go. Hunter. Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you having me on.